Now, what have you to sort out there, Noel?
Did you hear the alarm?
Yeah. So Noel is just seeing to his world famous sausage rolls. How are you, Tara?
Hey, I'm all good.
Yeah. So we're here with Tara and Noel in the back of Noel's shop on Mead Street in the Liberties in Dublin 8.
Yes.
All that's factually correct.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having us. We're delighted to be here.
And we're delighted you're here. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us what's happening in May then as part of the Humans of Dublin and Dublin 8 and Mead Street.
Right. Culture Days in Dublin 8 is an event that happens every year. And this year, as part of that, Grace, who organises it for Dublin City Council, engaged Peter
from the Humans of Dublin.
Humans of Dublin, yeah. And he was to interview people around the Liberties and in Dublin 8.
Okay.
So he came in here to interview me, and I wasn't here, and he met Tara.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And this is how he interviewed Tara.
So you were interviewed by accident, Tara?
Yes, yes.
Right. And Noel's nose is out of joint a little bit because you've become the star of it and not Noel, you know. So
taking his limelight, I am.
Yeah. So you started working here when you were 14?
Yes, when I was 14.
And how long have you been in business on the street, Noel?
Since 1977 on Mead Street. I started working on Thomas Street in 1963.
Right.
I know this is hard to believe because I look so young.
You have a great head of hair, in fairness, you know. I'm jealous.
He has his combs in his pocket.
Does he?
Yeah. He carries one everywhere he goes.
So Noel's is a, what is, although it's not on a corner, it's a corner shop.
Yes.
Yeah. And you sell everything from what to what?
Well, it's basically newsagents. We used to have a deli. When the big price hikes came with the price of electricity and whatever, we gave up the deli.
Right.
Because people didn't want to pay more money for what they were getting.
Mm.
And the funny thing about it is, Ray, when we stopped selling the stuff, especially our sausage rolls, which were very famous, and they had to go to other places, they were paying nearly double what we were charging.
Right.
And they were coming in giving out to us, why did you close your deli? It's twice as dear up there.
Something's kicked in. What's that now?
That's the ice cream machine.
That's the ice cream machine, right? There's noises here, there and everywhere, right? Can you remember your first day at work here, Tara?
Yes, I do.
Go on.
I remember walking in, going extremely red, and the redness didn't go till I left that day.
Right.
And I'll never forget, the girls were all so sweet to me, and they just went through what I had to do, but I was just so shy I didn't even give eye contact to anyone.
Right.
So
prior to that, you described yourself as being socially awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm like that, but I actually don't portray myself as that.
Okay.
And everyone always tells me how, like, you don't go on like you have anxiety, but I fake it till I make it, really.
Right.
That's what I do.
But you do it, so that's,
yeah, you have
that's
to
the reality of it,
you
is that you're a chatter.
It,
yeah. I'm here chatting
choice,
to you, you're
yeah.
not nervous, you're fine with it, yeah. And the reason that Peter from Humans of Dublin was attracted to your story is because it's a, I suppose, it's a story not uncommon in the area.
Mm.
So where do you want to start?
Where will I start? You tell me. What? You tell me.
Well, I suppose your first living memory then. What's your first living memory?
My first memory. Being out me back in summertime with my brother and my sisters and my family.
Right.
That's always what I remember. Being out the back, yeah.
Now, are these with Ado's children?
With Adrian, yeah.
Yeah.
With Adrian.
So you've no real memory of your own mother?
I do, actually. I do have a few memories of her, but not a lot.
Yeah.
When the children were small, Ray, Deirdre, Tara's mummy, she used to bring them into the shop every morning on the way to school. And she had them scrubbed like new pins. They were always dressed very nicely. And she was always a little bit hyper.
Yeah.
From her problem that she had. But a pretty good mother at the time. And unfortunately then, as her addiction spiraled, Adrian's daughter went down one day to the house to visit him and came back and said to Adrian that we have to do something.
Yeah.
Right. So you and your two sisters, you're the youngest.
Me and my three sisters.
Three sisters.
Yes,
three sisters. Right, yeah. Sorry. And your mum died when you were six.
Yeah.
I suppose when you're six, you don't have...
You don't understand.
No.
No. I'll never forget when Adrian came down and she came down to me and my sisters and she was like, yes, our mummy's very sick. But I was sick, so me and my little cousin Jody were there, and they were like, my sisters were crying, and I was like, why is everyone crying for? I was like, why don't you get the Calpol out of the fridge? And they were like, Tara, you go upstairs. So then me and my little cousin went upstairs, and I remember being like, I don't know if this means that she's going to die or not. Right. But I was only six, so I didn't understand. So we were literally like, why aren't they getting Calpol? Why aren't they getting Calpol? But we didn't have a clue at the time, you know.
Isn't that brilliant, though, as a six-year-old? You thought that Calpol could cure everything.
I know. If only. Yeah. If only that was how life is now. Literally.
Now you know.
I know the harsh reality of the world.
Yeah.
Literally.
So Ado stepped in with her superhero pants on.
Yes, she did.
Took the 4E.
Yeah.
And she had how many already herself?
She had a son and a daughter,
right.
Megan and Sean,
right.
herself. And then she took us on after that.
So six children?
Yeah.
On her own?
Yes, on her own, all on her own, with no help of any man. Literally, never. All on her own. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't put into words how good she is.
Well, try.
I'll try. I was telling her about all of this stuff that has happened in the last 3 weeks with the story gone viral, and everyone is coming up saying your aunt's amazing, and she doesn't even like realise how big of a deal it is. And I was saying, like, look at the Facebook comments and like have a little look, just because she deserves the recognition and it's nice to see. So like have a little look, and she didn't even understand how to do that. And she doesn't even care, you know.
Yeah.
The thing she said to me when I was like, there's like millions of comments just everywhere. She was like, I don't really care. She was like, I only care if my kids appreciate and recognise it. That's all I care about. She's like, I don't care about anyone else. Just once my kids know and appreciate me, that's all she ever wanted really in her life.
And looking at you and listening to you as a 22-year-old young woman, you're a credit to Ado, credit. No, but and that's her work, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
her work. Yeah, I am who I am today over her.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be who I am without her. Mm. And you know, as I'm growing up, I'm realising a lot of people are like their mothers. And I'm so grateful that I'm like her. Like, there's no better person to be like. And she's so kind. And I feel like I have them traits. And she's the only one I can thank for at all.
Yeah.
She really is. And my big sisters and my brother, they were always there. They were always set in my head that you have to respect Ado. You can't disrespect her. She done too much for us in her whole life. So that's all I know, is she's always just being like an angel to me. Mm. I've always just looked up at her and saying, gold. Like, I couldn't ever see anything else when I think or look at her.
Yeah.
She's just everything to me. Everything and more, literally.
Isn't that brilliant?
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky, and especially the second chance that I got. Unfortunately, I was unlucky and my parents passed away and they had addiction problems. But usually people don't get a second chance the way I did. People a lot of foster kids have, like, when they go to homes and they have bad experiences. Some people have really good experiences. Some people get sent to, like, hundreds of different houses, but I got to go to my family. I got to go to my auntie.
Mm.
I got to stay with my sister. She never separated us. She always said, I don't want to separate us, which is amazing. She took, like, one day she had two and the next day she had six, and she just never cared. Like, she literally just never. I don't know how she done it. I don't know how.
Brilliant.
How did
Absolutely
she do it?
Brilliant.
Like, literally.
And like, I know from talking to people that they talk about this, the cycle.
Mm.
You know,
yeah,
so if you're born into a family where there's addiction problems, it's very likely that you will have your own addiction problems,
like that,
and it goes on and on and on. But superhero Ado stepped in and broke that cycle for you. And
she was always so tough on us as kids. Like, my friends would be going to discos when they're 13, but I wasn't allowed to go to the discos when I was 13.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Like, why am I allowed to do this? So why am I allowed to do that? But as an adult, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And I will do that with my kids. My kids will not be going to discos when they're 13. They will not be staying out till all hours of the night.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the exact same way she reared me. I want to do that with my kids.
And of course, the community here around Mead Street, because you live on just down the road.
Yeah, literally down the road. Yeah,
yeah. So talk to me a little bit about the community here.
The community here is nothing but amazing. It really is nothing but amazing. Everyone is so there for each other. If you need anything, if I need a bit of milk, I'll run next door. And it's not a bother. Like, it's not embarrassing that you don't go Scarlet. It's just, there's your milk, no bother. You need a tea bag next door and the girls will have it for me. Everyone is so there for each other, and it's so lovely. It's really lovely to be around. And
because the family had a tragedy back in 2016, because Sean,
he was
very young.
Sean,
what age was he?
24,
Say again?
24.
24 and he died of cancer.
Yeah, he had leukemia.
Yeah.
Yeah. he got a force when he was 21, and he was in remission for 3 years, and then he got a back, and really quickly he just deteriorated from it and passed away.
Yeah,
from
so
August to December.
A terrible time. But you saw, and Ada saw, and the rest of the family saw, the community.
Yeah. Oh, like when my brother passed away, the house had like 30 loaves of bread. I had like 30 butters. I had like 50 jugs of milk. Like there was so much food, but everyone was just bringing it down.
Yeah.
Because obviously we were, well, it was a horrific time, so we're not really in our right mind in the time. So everyone else was getting us the stuff that they were obviously like, they can't think about these right now.
Mm.
So everyone else was doing it for us, and it was amazing. A next door neighbour of mine actually paid €1,000 anonymously off my brother's funeral, and she didn't tell anyone, but we knew who it was.
Yeah.
But she anonymously, and she never even said it after or mentioned it, but we knew who it was, so we thanked her for it. So it's just amazing being from around here to support that for everyone. It's really good.
And I suppose, Noel, you're part of the fabric of the community here, the shop.
Yeah. 6 years working in the area, right? And it is true what Tara was saying. We have an amazing community in the Liberties. There's nowhere like it. The Liberties is a village, and Mead Street is the main street, if you like, on the village, even though Thomas Street is the big street. But I think Mead Street is probably the last authentic street like it in Dublin. But the people who frequent it every day, you won't get them anywhere.
Mm.
And the basic community has never changed. We get a lot of people moving in from different social classes to what we would be, working class. But they just blend in, and they get drawn in to the magic of it.
Yeah.
The community and the area has an edge that you don't get in other places. Years ago, the News of the World, on their banner, it used to say, all human life is there. That's
right.
The Mead Street.
Yeah. And you know everybody by first name.
Yes.
And you do as well, Tara.
Yeah. We can't go anywhere. One time I was in Limerick, and I was in a restaurant, and I met this girl on the toilet, and we just got chatting, and she, our auntie, worked on Meechu. What's the likelihood of that in Limerick, in a toilet in a restaurant, this random girl, and yeah, my auntie's from Meechu. And I was like, what the hell, it's crazy.
Tara was saying earlier on she was blushing the day she started work here, and one of the reasons she was blushing was the oven, which went off earlier on. I showed Tara how to put stuff in the oven and how to close it. I forgot to show her how to open it. So instead of turning it and pulling it, she just yanked it, and the handle came off.
First day at work.
Yeah.
But cute as she was, she just gently put the handle back in place and said nothing and let me go out.
This is what I said. I went up to Noel and I said, Noel, I was like, I can't remember how to open the oven. And he was like, okay, come on, Sal.
Yeah.
And I just popped off, and he was like, what?
That's classic big family behaviour.
Yeah, it is.
If you break something, put it back, and the next person can break it.
Yeah, I'll never lift that story down.
Yeah.
8 years later, and we still talk about it all the time and get a good laugh.
And there's an award ceremony. I know I was involved in it. I can't believe it's 8 years ago, but there's a Fran Dempsey, a local man.
It's not 8 years, is it, Greg?
That's what he says, was
no,
8 years.
No, it's about 2-3 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought, so yeah. Fran got his fingers wrong.
I think he might be thinking about something else.
Yeah, right, okay.
An amazing man.
Yeah.
He really is. And Fran is so much part of the community around here. He runs and operates, and his family with him, and other people, the Dublin Aid Food Bank. They at the end of Mead Street here, there's a space, and every day from 12 to 2, they give people who are in a bad way out food, and packaged food mainly, and other stuff, and help them. And if they see people struggling in other ways, they'll jump in and help them.
Right.
And his family are an amazing family in that regard. One of the groups, and Fran is also on the board of this group down the road called Mead Street Youth Activities, and it was founded years ago by a lady who's since passed away, Mary Stanley, a visionary woman in the area, but she saw the need with all the social problems that were in the area for looking after children. So our main function is to look after children. So we have classes on mainly on a Friday for kids to come in. Old style, like a youth club effort where they do crafts. Their phones are left to one side, and for a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, they're in there and they really enjoy it. So Marty came up with this. That's one of the things we do now. We do lots of other stuff. For instance, in July, for the month of July and August, every Tuesday, we hire buses and we take them off to somewhere different on each Tuesday. Mm. That's a wonderful occasion. Then we have a big party. The street is closed off at the end of the street to celebrate the end of it. But every year we have an award ceremony for local children in the area and for adults, but mainly for the children. So let's say a school can nominate a child in the class, uh-huh, or whatever. And we get the most amazing people being nominated. On our board we have the wonderful Judge Gillian Hussey. And she was invited about 40 years ago to go to one of these ceremonies after it started. And she saw an 8-year-old child getting an award for being kind to his granny. And she was hooked.
Yeah.
She joined the board and she's with us ever since.
Great.
And please God, she'll be there on Thursday night.
Right. And you're semi-retired, Noel. So your daughter Julie runs the shop.
Julie took over the shop nearly 2 years ago now.
When does she get her name over the door?
Never.
She's very cute. She knows that's the one that's working.
Oh, right.
That's the one that's known.
Right.
No, that's her choice. That's her choice. But in regards to Julie herself, we tired her here. Kira, who was working with us, who's now going to work at St. Vincent's Hospital. We have Kansi outside, who's as mad as a hatter. We'll sing at the drop of the hat.
Right.
No drink, no nothing. Famous now on YouTube in lots of ways.
Right.
And other girls that we had. And Julie, I have 5 children. She's the wisest of them. She's the youngest. But she's full of wisdom and just plain common sense. And she's mentored these girls in lots of ways.
Right.
Yeah. She's like their agony aunt.
Yeah, literally.
So
yeah.
This is the kind of a
setup. More support. More support.
Yeah.
You've a boyfriend.
Yes, I do have a boyfriend.
And is he local?
Well, he lives with me now, so he...
Oh, he's local now. He's local, yeah.
I've made him a local Liberties boy.
Yeah, and you intend to hang around?
With me and my boyfriend?
No, are you going to stay in the area as you get older?
No.
No.
But, so, this is me and my boyfriend's plan.
Right.
So, he's an electrician, so he would love to travel with his job.
Right.
So we do aim for Australia, but I want to settle back here and I want to have my kids here and I want to be around my family. But I also want to have a few years in my life where it's fun and I get to experience other part of the world. But I really want to settle back here,
right,
and I want my kids to grow up here and I want them to get the sense of community and love and support and everything that I got. That's what I really want for them as well.
Do you think about your mother often?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how could things have been different for her, do you think, now that you're an adult and you see how the world works?
If she made better choices in her life, a lot of things would be different. But everything happens for a reason and I wouldn't be who I am today if none of that happened. So I'm actually quite grateful that things happened the way they did because I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have the lessons I have today. And I feel like when I was growing up, I had a lot. My brother passed away when I was 15, my mom passed away when I was 6, me dad passed away the same year my brother passed away, so I went through a lot of grief and anxiety and a lot of other stuff. Now I came out the other end of it. I'm great now. I'm literally on top of the world now. But I learned a lot of stuff at a young age that other people didn't learn, and I always just had this a good mindset. But I'm grateful for that mindset and I'm grateful for all of the bad things happening, because I wouldn't think how I am. I just want a happy life. I find happiness in the smallest of things. But that's what life's all about. It's not about money or cars or mansions or what, because it's not about that. I left this job 2 years ago for 3 months and I was on amazing money in the other job, but I learned money does not mean anything if you're not happy. I was miserable. And I was working up in James's Hospital and I was serving all the sick people.
Mm.
At dinners, and one time I met a man and he said, can I sit beside you? He was eating his lunch. No, sorry, he wasn't eating his lunch. Take that bit out. Sorry. He was just sitting there and he said, can I sit beside you? And I said, yeah, of course, come on, sit beside me. And we have a little chat. So he sat beside me and he was dying of cancer himself. And all he wished for, he only had a few weeks left, and all he wished for was to eat a little piece of bread and to go fishing. That's all he wanted.
Right.
And he was telling me about his life. He was telling me about the things he had. And he was like, the thing that made me who I am today, he was like, was the nice things I done. He was like, it's all the little things. It's all about the little things. It really is. And I really feel like that.
And you're happy out.
I'm happy out. I have a great
And Noel's happy out as well. Like he's 106. Yeah, and look at him. That's
we're both happy out.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks so much for having us here. I'm going to have one of your world famous sausages now, yes. Noel. You know, right? That's yes, okay. Yes. Yeah. So remind us about the event again, Noel, just before we leave.
During Culture Day in Dublin 8, up in the Old Bank of Ireland on James Street, all these stories that were gathered by Peter Varga are going to be on display. I think there's going to be about 20 altogether. And I've seen 6 of them so far, and they're absolutely amazing stories.
So there'll be a big picture of you, Tara.
There is.
How do you feel about that?
I was scarlet at start, but now I'm just like, I'm going to love it now.
That's the story of your life. I was scarlet at start, but I'm okay now.
I know. It's just a thought of it. Yeah, I think until I make it, but once.
Right, sausage rolls all around. Thanks, Noel. Thanks, Tara.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.